You know, the concept of faithfulness is kind of a foreign concept in our society today in many ways. You think about business dealings today. Would you say that in some arenas of business that you may find some unfaithfulness in the arena of business dealings? You think about marriage today and how prominent it is for there to be unfaithfulness in marriage. You think about the arena of politics. Would you describe politics with the word faithfulness? Is that the first word that comes to your mind when you think about politics? I don't believe that's probably the first word that comes to your mind. Faithfulness is a challenging word today. You think about sports today, and I don't see a whole lot of faithfulness in sports. Some fans are not very faithful. You got some bandwagon fans that are good while the getting's good, but when the getting's not so good anymore, they're out of time. They're not going to cheer for their team anymore. But you even have some players. When the NFL introduced, how long ago was it? 30 years ago, when they introduced the whole free agency thing to the NFL, I just kind of lost interest in some ways in the NFL because it was like there's no faithfulness to your team anymore. Hey, if you get a better deal, go somewhere else. Unfaithfulness is something that truly characterizes the world that we live in. We almost expect it in some ways, don't we? We almost expect it when we go into certain places that we're not going to get a faithful deal, because it seems today that selfishness is what reigns. And so when we talk about the faithfulness of God, there is something refreshing about that. There is something intriguing about that. When we live in a world that struggles with faithfulness and sometimes isn't even trying to be faithful in these various arenas that we've talked about this morning and in others, to think about our God being faithful ought to be appealing to us, ought to be refreshing to us. To recognize that we serve a God that the Bible describes as one who is faithful ought to bring us confidence, ought to give us great trust in our God, ought to cause us to have great certainty when we come into a relationship with Him. And so this morning we are talking about the last of this series of what we've been talking about this year of being imitators of God. For the theme of 2022, we introduced back at the beginning of this year that the theme for this year would be being imitators of God. And each month we've looked at a different quality, a different aspect, a different characteristic of God that we need to imitate in our lives today. And I hope these studies have been beneficial for you. I hope they have been encouraging for us. We've talked about God's holiness, how we need to imitate His holiness. We've talked about God's love, His grace, His mercy, His goodness. I hope that we have learned from those things and we're striving to imitate those things in our lives. We had one month where we talked about God's patience, and hopefully we have been striving to imitate God's patience in our lives. And so in the month of December, we wanted to have at least one lesson where we would think about imitating God's faithfulness. How do we do that? What does that look like? What does God's faithfulness look like? What does that mean? And so I want us to spend a little time looking at that today. And first I want us to look at how does the Bible explain for us what does the faithfulness of God look like? If you were to try to describe this to somebody, how could we describe, how could we explain, how does the Bible explain for us the faithfulness of God? First, the passage that was read in Psalm 89, and we're going to reference Psalm 89 a couple times in this lesson, because here's a psalm. And you're going to read the word faithful or the word faithfulness throughout this psalm, and it's all about God. It's all about God being faithful to us. And we see in this psalm that God is faithful to His nature. What does that mean that He's faithful to His nature? You look in verse 8. Verse 8 talks about the faithfulness of God and that the faithfulness of God surrounds you. God's faithfulness, that's what He is. His faithfulness surrounds Him. You get down to verse 33 and it talks about God's faithfulness never fails. We've talked about a lot of different attributes of God this year. We talked about His love, but we also talked about His jealousy. We talked about His mercy and His grace and His patience, and yet we also talked about His justice. But all of these qualities of God never contradict each other. They never call each other, the other qualities into question. All of the attributes of God blend perfectly together because of the faithfulness of His nature. He's also faithful to His character. What does that mean? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, if we, think about this, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. God's faithfulness does not depend on our faithfulness. If we are faithless, the passage says, He remains faithful. And the rest of it says, because He cannot deny Himself. God is who He is. His faithfulness is one of the attributes that Scripture clearly demonstrates, and everything that He does is going to be in accordance with who He is. He's a faithful God. He's not just faithful to His nature and His character, He's faithful to His Word. Aren't some of the most encouraging verses in the Bible those verses that tell you that God cannot lie? Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. That it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. In a world, has anybody ever lied to you? Anybody ever lied to you ever? Like in the last week, anybody lied to you? I mean, when you talk about the unfaithfulness of our world, we live in a world that doesn't care about telling the truth. It's okay to tell a lie, but here we've got a God who's faithful to His Word. Everything He says is in accordance with faithfulness. You can count on it. He cannot lie. He's faithful to His nature, to His character. He's faithful to His Word. He's faithful to His people. Aren't you thankful that He's faithful to you? Even if we are faithless, He remains faithful. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, passage on the screen, if you actually back up in that context and get back up into about verse 6, God talks to the children of Israel about how special they are to Him, how He has chosen them, how they are a special treasure to Him. And then you go down and you get down into verse 9, and there it talks about how God's faithfulness extends to His people to 1,000 generations. Obviously using hyperbole to show us how much we can count on our God. He's faithful to us. His faithfulness to us is infinite. You cannot measure God's faithfulness. In Psalm 36, it says it reaches up to the clouds. In other words, you can't measure how high, you can't measure how far the faithfulness of God goes. You get into Psalm 119, and it says that God's faithfulness is unto all generations. It doesn't stop. It's not that God's faithfulness lasted for a few thousand years and then, well, we're beyond the point of that. His faithfulness is unto all generations. And so one of the songs that's in our songbook, we don't sing it very often, but it comes from Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23 that says, great is thy faithfulness. His faithfulness is infinite. His faithfulness is unchanging. It's immutable. When you learn who your God is, He doesn't change. Have you ever known somebody and over time they changed? Their character changed, their words changed, the way they lived changed, and you say, that's not who they used to be. That's not the man, that's not the woman I used to know. Guess what? With God, that doesn't happen. There is no variation or shadow of turning, James 1 and verse 17. And while the world is going to change, Hebrews 1 and verse 12 says, the Bible says, you are the same and your years remain forever. They will never fail. When you get to know your God, He's not going to change on you because He's faithful. What does that mean for us? What is the fact that the Bible explains for us God's faithfulness? What does that mean that He does for us? How is His faithfulness extended to us as His children? What does that mean? It means on the first thought that God keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. When you read God's promise, have you ever read some promises in the Bible that God has made and you thought, oh, wow, that's a big deal. And you thought, how is God going to do that? Can you imagine being Abraham in Genesis chapter 12? Can you imagine being Abraham at 75 years of age and God tells you you're going to be the father of a great nation? And how many children do you have as Abraham at 75 years of age? How many children has your wife had for you in all of these years? She's 65 now. Zero children. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Oh, okay, God. Your parents ever make you a promise? Somebody ever make you a promise and you're like, oh, yeah, oh, okay, yeah, right, uh-huh, sure. God said, no, I'm not only going to make you a great nation, I'm going to put your nation in a great land. Right, God, I'm living in tents. My wife would like a great land. While you're at it, God, throw in a mansion for my wife with some indoor plumbing and some electricity. I mean, if we're just going to dream, let's just dream, I beg. Did God keep His promises? Did Abraham, at 100 years old, have a son just like God promised? Did God's children inherit a land given to them by God? Every bit of the land He promised, He gave to them. And so these verses in Joshua chapter 21, the end of that chapter, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, the Bible says, not a word of God failed. All came to pass. If God made such great promises to Abraham, where perhaps our faith would have been one that said, oh, sure, God, yeah, right, and God kept every one of them. Even the one that said, through your seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and He sends Jesus to be that seed of Abraham to bless all nations. If God keeps those promises to Abraham, don't you know He's going to keep the promises that He makes to you without fail. Because our God is faithful. He's faithful to those things that He has told us. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 10. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to look at some verses where the Bible says, and Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 is one of those verses that explicitly tells us that God is faithful. But I want us to see what other ways God is faithful to us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But, and here are three of my favorite words in the Bible. We're going to see them in several verses today. No temptation's overtaken you, but it's common to man. The temptations you have, other people have them. Other people have had them in the past. Other people will have them in the future. It's not unique to you. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, nobody's ever been tempted like I'm being tempted? You're wrong. Other people have. But what does the verse say? But God is faithful. Isn't this an interesting place for the Bible to tell us God is faithful? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape. God is faithful. No matter what temptation comes into your life, you can count on the faithfulness of God, not allowing the devil to tempt you more than you can bear. Not allowing the devil to make you do something against your will. And God in His faithfulness always provides a way of escape. God is faithful. And whenever you get into one of those times where you think the devil's got you backed into a corner, know that God, who is faithful, has a way for you to get out of that corner. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn your Bibles. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is tied in again with what we're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but I want you to see this expression. The Bible tells us that God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered." Delivered from what? "Delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Verse 3, "But," what does your Bible say in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3? "But the Lord is faithful." What's He going to do? "Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." He's not only going to provide a way of escape, but our God, the Bible, in this context, why does the Bible keep putting this phrase in here? God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Why does He keep putting it here? He wants us to know that God is going to protect us from the devil. Have you ever prayed what Jesus tells us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13? "Lead me not into temptation, and deliver me from..." Do you ever pray that? Do you expect God to answer that prayer? That God's going to establish you and guard you against the evil one, against the devil, and all that the devil may try to bring into your life? Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. You want to see this expression again? Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter is written to a group of Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. You need to know that when you look at a context within this book. This book is being written to Christians who are being persecuted. Look in verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name, in this matter." If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed of it. Glorify God because you are a Christian. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" Verse 19, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God..." Have you ever suffered any kind of hardship? Have you ever suffered any kind of trial of life because you are a Christian? "Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to God in doing good as a" what? "As a faithful creator." You go through a hard patch. You go through a hard period of life where there is the world. Maybe there are friends who are mocking you for your faith, mocking you because you are a Christian. Perhaps our society is heading in a direction where maybe it will be harder for us to be Christians, to express ourselves as Christians, to live our lives as Christians. God says, don't be ashamed. Keep on committing your lives to God, who is your faithful creator. He made you. He made you not only as a human being, He made you who you are as a child of God. Commit yourself to Him, and He will be faithful to you. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's see this expression again, how God is faithful to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning verse 23. "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's Paul's prayer for them? That God would preserve them blameless. That when Christ comes, they would be appearing in Christ's presence, and that they would be blameless in His presence. Well, how's that going to happen? Verse 24, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." When Jesus comes back, what right do we have to stand in His presence when He comes back? We have no right. What goodness have we done that says we deserve to be there? We don't deserve to be in the presence of God, and we for sure don't deserve to be blameless in His presence. How do we get there? Through the faithfulness of our God, who fulfills His promises, cleanses us, and makes us stand right in the eyes of God. The Bible says that we need to have trust and faith that God preserves us until the Lord's coming, that God will answer our prayers. In Psalm 143 and verse 1, it talks about the God being faithful to us in answering our prayers. When you pray, do you ever just think you're praying into the air? You're just saying words into the air and nobody's hearing them? Do you trust that there is a God in heaven whom Psalm 143 says is faithful to answer your prayers? Do you know that He is? Do you know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15? Do we know that when we ask, we shall receive? When we seek, we shall find? When we knock, what's going to happen? It's going to be opened unto us. Do we trust that? Do we trust that our God is faithful to supply us the needs that we have in our life? In that passage in Matthew chapter 7, where the Bible says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find. It goes on to talk about earthly fathers. And it goes on about verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7. It says, what father is there, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? If his son asks for a fish, would give him a scorpion? Well, no father's going to do that. No father in his right mind, no faithful father's going to do that for a child who is in need. And Jesus makes the point in verse 11 to say, don't you know that you have a heavenly Father who above all earthly fathers is going to take care of you? Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful to supply us every need that we have. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. Look in 1 John chapter 1. What is our God faithful to do for us? How does He extend His faithfulness to us? Look at 1 John chapter 1, begin in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful. Isn't it interesting to you how often the Bible keeps dropping that statement in here? If we walk in the light, what's He going to do? Forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your God is faithful. Have you ever prayed to God and said, God, I just did this same sin again. Please forgive me. And have you ever thought, why is He going to forgive me? I keep doing this same thing. I keep asking Him for forgiveness. This is like the umpteenth time this week I've asked Him for forgiveness for the same thing. Why is He going to forgive me? Do you know why He's going to forgive you? He is faithful. That's it. If we are faithless, 2 Timothy 2, He remains faithful. And if I strive to walk in the light as He is in the light, if I confess my sins when I do wrong and I truly have a penitent heart when I come before Him, then God will keep on forgiving me of my sins every time that I am in need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, God is faithful who calls you into fellowship with Him and with His Son. Our God is faithful. We don't deserve it, but we get to be in fellowship with Him. And our God is faithful in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. If there's a condition here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, if we hold fast to that confession of hope, we have that promise of that hope of heaven. Not because we deserve it, but because we have a faithful God who has promised to sinners like me that heaven awaits if you put God first in your life. Do we deserve that? Of course we don't. That's what we've talked about this year, being imitators of God. We've talked about His love. I don't deserve that. We've talked about His mercy. I don't deserve that. We've talked about His goodness. I don't deserve that. We've talked about His grace. I don't deserve that. You talk about His faithfulness. I don't deserve that. But that's the God that we serve. The Bible explains for us what His faithfulness is. The Bible tells us how God extends to us His faithfulness over and over and over. But as we conclude this lesson this morning, we need to recognize that God expects that when He extends His faithfulness to us, He expects that faithfulness to be exhibited in us. He expects us to demonstrate, to live out, to show unto others faithfulness. He's been faithful to us. We imitate His faithfulness to others. How do we do that? We imitate His faithfulness in every commitment that we make. When we make a commitment to someone, whether that's in a business dealing, we fulfill that commitment. Whether that's in marriage, we fulfill that commitment. Whether that's in whatever arena we make a commitment to someone within our home, we fulfill that commitment. We're faithful to that commitment because God has been faithful to us. How do we exhibit His faithfulness? We're faithful in our words. He's faithful in His words. He will not lie to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talks about our words and our words. God is faithful. It says there, verses 18, 19, and 20, God's faithful. God's words are faithful. His words are yes. His words are yea. My words need to be faithful. The words that I speak need to be true. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, says, let no one... Or it says, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor. My words need to be faithful. My commitment to my marriage needs to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, a wife's not to depart from her husband. And if she does depart, she's to remain unmarried or to be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to depart from his wife. Because God has been faithful to us, He expects us to be faithful in our commitments. He expects us to be faithful as stewards. It's an interesting word, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. That God looks at us. Here we have been given, everything we've been given has been given to us by God. Every material possession you have, the clothes that you're wearing, the money that is in your wallet, if you still have a wallet, the money that's in your bank account, the car that you drive, the house that you live in don't belong to you. Tell that to the bank. Go ahead, tell that to the bank. Doesn't belong to me. Belongs to my God. And He has allowed me to use it. He's given it to me to use for Him. Not just the material, the spiritual. Everything that I have been blessed with belongs to God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, God requires that His stewards be found faithful. Isn't that what we want? To take what has been given to us, to be good stewards of it, to be good servants, so that we can hear on the day of judgment, well done, thou good and... faithful, you know the word. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Taking those things that God has given to me, using them for His glory, so that I can be considered faithful in the eyes of God. How do I exhibit God's faithfulness? It's got to be seen in my ministering unto others. It's an interesting expression in that little book of 3 John. When you read the little book of 3 John, you're reading a letter that John writes to a Christian by the name of Gaius. And Gaius was a faithful servant of God. And what John says to Gaius in 3 John, he says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." Could that be said about us? That whatever we do for brethren and for strangers, we do it faithfully? Are we faithful ministers of our brothers and sisters in Christ and taking care of them? Are we individuals? You know Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be thou faithful until death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life." Are we faithful in our Christian lives? How do I exhibit faithfulness? God has been faithful to me. How do I exhibit that faithfulness in my life? You know what God has said to us? If you want a verse that tells you God's faithfulness, it's where God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see God's faithfulness and God saying, "I will never forsake you." That same word is in Hebrews chapter 10. Can I exhibit God's faithfulness if I don't faithfully assemble to worship my God with the saints? He's been faithful to me. Can I be faithful to Him if I'm not faithfully worshiping Him with the saints? If I'm not faithfully praising His faithfulness? Read through the Psalms. And you'll be amazed as you read through the Psalms, the variety of things that the psalmist praise God for. But as you read through the Psalms, you'll see them praising God, declaring His faithfulness. There's a whole lot that we could talk about in this topic. But as you think about being imitators of God, as we close out this year and thinking about the various attributes of God that we need to imitate, aren't you thankful that your God is faithful? Aren't you thankful that the Bible describes that God to you in the Bible? That even when we falter, He remains faithful. He remains faithful to His Word and to His promises. And if we live faithfully to Him, if we live faithfully to Him, He will keep His promise of giving us a home in heaven. Do you have that promise today? Do you know without any doubt in your mind, without any sliver of a doubt in your mind, that you have the faithful promise of heaven today? You see, our faithful God, He expects us to obey what He's told us to do so that He can be faithful in keeping the promise He wants to keep to us and giving us that eternal life in heaven. In order to have that promise, we've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. With that faith in our heart, we need to repent of our sins, to make up our minds, "I'm done serving self. I want to start serving Jesus. I'm done doing what's wrong. I want to start trying to do what's right." If that's where you are today, if you have a decision, if you've got a mindset that says, "I'm ready to give my life to the Lord today," then you need to do what they did in the Bible. You need to do what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that is in your heart and be baptized, and to do it today. To be immersed into Christ today so that at that very moment that you are buried in the water and raised up from that water, that the blood of Jesus will wash away every single sin you've ever committed. That won't happen until with faith in your heart and repentance in your heart you are immersed. And then He washes away every sin. He adds you to His family, to His church, and He writes your name in the book of life. If you've never been baptized, why not do it today? To be raised to walk a new life and to do exactly what Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, to be faithful. It doesn't say to be perfect. It says to be faithful. Are you perfect? Are you a perfect husband, a perfect wife? Are you a perfect employee? Are you a perfect employer? Are you a perfect citizen? Are you a perfect neighbor? We're not perfect at anything. But are you faithful? God expects us to do the very best that we can in serving Him, being faithful to what He wants us, the way He wants us to live, And when we do, He will be faithful to us and give us that home in heaven. If you don't have that promise today, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.